Blog Talk Radio.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, like 2x miles on every purchase.
The noise canceling. You're being too loud. Thank you.
Good choice.
Ooh. My lucky number.
Earn 5x miles on flights.
Enjoy your stay.
Going up?
And 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges.
White wine, please.
And maybe see the one and only Taylor Swift. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Brother O. This was the soundtrack of our lives from Brother O, featuring traditional music flutist Jose Cabezas. That's who that was taken from. This is a product of WBNN. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Terry Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Calling family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Oladeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic this evening is spirituality, a new perspective. It was supposed to be an interview with Lakota. Well, look, Mr. Jeremiah Moreno is here, I hope, but medicine man Rick Two Dogs could not make it because of scheduling conflicts. So the show must go on, and it's going to be hopefully me and Mr. Moreno. This is a Lakota prayer. O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be superior to my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes, so when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit will come to you without shame. And this was written by Chief Yellow Lark in 1887. This is the Know Your Rights show with Tara Strunk. I want to thank my Facebook family and my internet family for joining us tonight on this engagement. We're going to talk to a member of the Lakota. We're going to talk about their spiritual systems a little bit. We had envisioned the medicine man, which I was told was kind of a derogatory term to just call them a spiritual leader, but he wasn't able to make it, so we have to do that another time. But Mr. Moreno was more than capable of filling in and answering some of these questions that we're going to discuss and talk about tonight. So I appreciate everyone being patient with us and joining us, and we look forward to having a great show tonight. So to get started, Mr. Moreno, are you available? Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for not leaving me out here.
Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction again.
Yes, yes. So basically this is interview with Jeremiah Moreno part two. That's what it is. This is part
two. Thank you so much. Thank you for this honor. So, thank you.
No, the honor is mine, my brother. The honor is mine. So tell us, Rick Two Dogs was your uncle, so you've gotten a chance to have an inside look to be able to answer these questions that I had for him in the short term. So, you know, how does a person become a spiritual leader or a medicine man? And I know you'd rather be called a spiritual leader. What is the process you picked? Like, how does it work?
So there's a few protocols. My belief is that since we're going to be talking about some spiritual things, I know you said a prayer.
Yes.
I would like to say a prayer as well in our Lakota Api Woyagalakapi. Midakuyapi Kashilawa Kantaka Dakushkanshka Unchima Kanaka Teatoka Naji. Wochekyo wakagapi. Tonkashilan petukile unshiyama kapo unshila kapie. Medaki kichi zania ma umpiktaye. Tokateye oaye washte wa ognamawa umpikte. Wichokuze ki unkiya itaha ich aye muzienkteye. Midakuye Oyase. Translation of the prayer was, Grandfather, pity us on this day. Me and my relatives will walk good, with good health. We will walk on a good path. Keep sickness from us, all my relatives. And so I just wanted to say that that much. And then as far as the questions of the protocol to become a spiritual leader, a spiritual advisor, it's a gift from the spirits of creation. The creators will choose you here on this earth. They'll give you a dream, or they'll give you a vision, so to speak, and then it's up to you. So if you're chosen, you'll know by this dream or by this gift of a vision or a dream, and then you take this vision, this dream, and you go to Apia Wichasha or Yeskawa Wichasha, those who can translate this dream on what your path is, and then there's protocols after that, and it's an extensive kind of like training, so to speak, in English, right? So you'll go through all these steps to become knowledgeable in all of these areas of the spiritual realm, of the spiritual realm, the plants, the foods, the herbs, the gifts that are given to you. So that's kind of more or less as much as I'm able to talk about in a public setting.
Got it. So can you tell me, what is it that a spiritual leader does? Like, what do they do?
So the spiritual leaders, they belong to the people, so that they're very highly regarded amongst the Lakota community. Like she, my uncle, you know, Rick Two Dogs is really held at in high prestige. You know, he went through all of these years and years of being with all the grandpas and grandmas, and he knows a lot. He's not the only one. You know, we have many of them on our reservation and throughout our territory, and they all kind of have a same similar background. And what we do is we come to them and we need help. So if we're trying to get ahead in this, you know what, we're all living in this Western American society where we're assimilated to this culture, right? We to drive a car, we have to eat a certain way. Sometimes the food we eat and sometimes the way we live is not good for our health. And, you know, a lot of what happens is that we'll, as human beings, we'll get cancer, we'll get these diseases that we go to the doctor and they say, here's all these pills, here's all these medications, here's all these procedures you have to go through, these surgeries, right? Oh, well, it's not working, so we need to go in through these more procedures, more medication, more pills, more pharmacy, you know, all this stuff. Oh, it's not working. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do. You only have this much time to live. Well, sometimes we'll go to our spiritual leaders and we'll seek advice from the spiritual realm, and that's where we find our answers. And so that's one way it's done. I'll give you a little story. There was this young girl, and she had problems, health problems, and she's so young. And they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, there's nothing we can do. start preparing. Start preparing for your little girl's going to go home. Your little girl's going to pass away. Get your affairs in order. The mother says, no. We have our way of doing things. And we're going to seek another opinion. And so they go to the Apia Wichasha, the Ieska Wichasha, our spiritual leaders, our spiritual advisors. And we go through these ceremonial ways, not just one, not just them, sometimes just them. It depends on the situation. The little girl comes out of these ceremonies, goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, what happened? The mother says, I'm not going to tell you. You gave my daughter only this much time. She's running around now. She's healthy. Why would I tell you? You'll exploit it. That's what they want to do. You know, I mean, those my opinions, of course, but the pharmaceutical companies, they want to exploit these things. Whereas we, you know, even like that's as much as as far as I can really go. These are just
right, just
stories. You know, we don't want too much publicity about this kind of stuff because we know what happens. It was in the public at one time, and those people were targeted. And so I thank Lexi Rick for stepping up and saying, you know what, he's not afraid to be a target, you know. And so he was willing to come on to the show. And, you know, of course, you know, he had ceremonial obligations, though. And so that's a lot around this time of year is, you know, they have obligations. And so, but they entrusted me to speak on their behalf. So it's an honor, you know, being here. But that's kind of just a little bit about what they do. It also, a spiritual leader, you know, is also there for inspiration. They give you inspiration. Yes, you know, do this. You know, you can do this. Let's pray over this. And it gives you more encouragement. It gives you more like here's another story. I have another uncle, you know, he wanted to start a treatment center, a healing center. And our people, you know, we have a very high rate of codependency issues. And you know, it's not our fault. It's the colonizer's fault. We're trying to pick up the pieces now. And that's my uncle, you know, he wanted a treatment center. He wanted a place where our people can go. And so he told a spiritual leader, a spiritual advisor, that he wants to pray over this idea. And so they went into ceremony. And six months later, they have a building. They have infrastructure. They have a way to do like AA or like, you know, those types of treatment partisans, but in a Lakota perspective. So, you know, we feel uncomfortable going into a circle and saying, oh, you know, we praying to God or Jesus, you know, no offense to the Christianity and the Catholicism and no offense to those religions, but as Lakota people, we feel uncomfortable there because we have a past. In the boarding schools, we were forced. And so it's difficult to go in to these type of environments. And so he wanted an environment specifically for our Lakota spirituality. 6 months later, he has it. Went into ceremony, came out 6 months later. He has what he envisioned, and it's beautiful. It works. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. I wanted to ask you, and I hope this is not disrespectful to ask this. Why does Rick call himself two dogs. Why is his name? Is there a story behind that, or?
Yeah, so he has a wonderful he'll speak sometimes, and I'll get the he's going to be speaking this winter, because and I'll get you the link to the Zoom. It's awesome. Okay. He talks about his entire life from the beginning, and it's amazing. He tells a lot about it, and the history and the story behind his name. And I think that's kind of more the place to learn about Lexi is from him. And he's open too. He's an open book. He'll invite you in, and he wants to kind of spread the word that, you know, we have our own way of life. You know, we were subject to and forced to be one way for a long, long time, you know, but you know, now we're free, and we want to express ourselves as who
Absolutely.
We are.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, Mr. Moreno. We have a track next by International Inebriate Hall of Fame Brother O. 2.4 is... Thank you. Thank you for that, brother. Like that. I believe we have a caller in the queue. This is the Know Your Right Show with Terra Strength. Caller one, who am I speaking with?
Caller one, you're online. All right, maybe they just wanted to listen. But they, hold on. We're going to get them right back on. There we go.
All right, hey, how's it going? I didn't realize it was me. This is Shannon.
Oh, Shannon, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? You know, it's strange how I end up on these calls. It's, you know, something draws me into these calls, and I end up on the ones I need to be on. And
absolutely,
you know, and it's just a blessing and an honor to be here with you guys. And I think about how before the call started, I was anticipating how it was going to go, and it's really interesting how it always ends up going a completely different way. And you know, after hearing the introduction, wow! You know, I can only anticipate the meaning behind his name. You know, I can only anticipate the stories that are going to come from that question, you know, and it's pretty interesting. So thank you, Terrace, my brother, for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Shannon, you have an indigenous background in your family, right?
You know, I used to live on the Yavapai Apache reservation out close to Sedona in Camp Verde, Arizona, for a few years. And I was invited up to the Hopi Second Mesa for a few dances, and been part of that culture for a few years. It was for about 3.5 years, and I was blessed to be invited to those events, to be a part of that culture. But myself, I do not know if I actually have, you know, any Native American in me. I mean, somehow spiritually, I feel that I do, and I need a regression therapy to kind of find that out. But, you know. Physically, probably not. Spiritually, I would have to say yes.
Right. Well, thank you. If you don't have any questions, I don't know if you had a question for Mr. Moreno, but if you don't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't. I wanted to say, I'm not sure what tribe this gentleman is from, and I didn't do a whole lot of research before the call. I apologize. I did have a question, though. I find this Thanksgiving unique because visiting my father up in Payson with our family, okay? He's an elderly gentleman, and, you know, oddly enough, he's invited us to have a Thanksgiving dinner at, you know, the casino of all places. And, I'm thinking, I'm putting this together going, Dad, you know, how – I haven't talked to him about it. I'm wondering how to approach the situation because it's kind of unique. It feels awkward to me, you know, to be in that kind of a setting. But then I'm wondering why would the casino put on such an event, you know? Does that make sense? Like how weird that would feel? Kind of a hypocritical point of view, you know, from the past and all this, you know, what's happened and everything. You know, I don't know how would that feel to a Native American, you know, from their perspective, like Thanksgiving dinner at the casino? Like, how does that make sense? You know, I guess, is that a good or bad question? I have no idea.
Mr. Moreno, who's from the Lakota, Mr. Moreno, what do you think about the question from Shannon?
Yes, that's a good question. I like the question because, there's a few things going on. One is the education. A lot of what we've been celebrating as a holiday, you know, even tomorrow, you know, I get the day off and I'm thankful for it, right? So these so many years, I believe it was like Abraham Lincoln was the one to kind of put the first Thanksgiving into the Western American society, chain of holidays, and it all the way up till now, you know, we thought it was a good thing, but as we start to research and educate ourselves and the truth comes out, It's very angry. Anger is what a lot of our people are feeling in Indian country. Is, you know, we know what has happened. You know, especially Abraham Lincoln having the being the first to, or the president that had the biggest mass execution of this country, and it happened to my people, the Ocheti Shakoni. He executed 38 Dakota chiefs in December, on December 25th, no less. And wow. on the following day, he executed two more. And a lot of those ones who were executed were chiefs, and we were down the bloodline, are relatives of ours. And so it's angry. We're angry about it. We feel cheated. We feel lied to, because, you know, we don't learn about this stuff going into the American school system, right? We don't learn about it at a young age. We learn about it from researching it ourselves, from educating ourselves, or you don't really learn about it until you get to college. That was me. You know, I didn't. I went to school and at a Catholic school, and never once did I hear about any of this stuff. When I get to college, you know, my mom being a history major, she said, "Hey," she sat me down and she said, this is the truth. This is what happened. You need to learn this stuff." And so that's, you know, I sit my kids down, not my sons, you know, they're younger. My belief is, you know, that it's not the right time for them. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the right time for me then. I'm just a child, right? But as a teenager, as an adolescent, my daughter, she's 17 years old. She has the right to know these things and to start having a free thinking mindset. And that's kind of what it is. And on the positive side, though, when the churches were infiltrating our villages, and they were trying to convert our people into whatever religion that they were trying to force us into, there's a story. There's a story that Russell Means talks about, and I heard this from his son Scott Means, which is like my big brother. You know, he helped me out a lot. He'd be a good one for you to interview too. But anyway, what he said was that that these churches were trying to convert us into Catholicism, Christianity, or whatever, right? As Indian people, we said, yes, okay, we will go by this since it's the law, right? But here are some things that you're not taking away from us. Our solstice celebrations, our equinox celebrations, these are things mm-hmm. that we've been doing for millions and millions of years. And all over the globe, indigenous people have been doing this. This is what they're trying to do all over the globe, was convert. They said, oh, well, here in the United States, they said, oh, well, we can't. They went back to the government. We can't convert them because they're not whatever it is, right? So let's try making these like holidays or whatever. So when you listen to Glenn Morris, he's a professor. I think I talked about this last interview too, is Glenn Morris, he's a professor. He talks about, are you serious? Like, Jesus wasn't born in December. He was born in the summertime. And why did they change it to the winter? Well, it was because they were trying to convert us to their faith, because that aligns with our winter solstice celebrations. And that's what, and Thanksgiving, it aligns with our fall equinox celebrations. And and we've been doing these celebrations for millions of years. And mm-hmm. this way of life, the way we look at the stars, the way we collect our food, the way we harvest our food and we collect our plants and herbs for healing, the way we have such a strong spiritual belief. It's ancient. You know, you can really only trace Christianity back 2,200 or 2,022 years, right? This is what we live by. This is what we, and it was illegal. It was illegal. So for about 44 years, 45 years, there was a time where it was almost lost. And that's why we're real hesitant to have a, you know, one of our spiritual leaders. But, you know, thankfully, Lexi Rick was more than willing to. But it's a little bit scary to have our spiritual leaders out in public, because at one time they were by the government. Yeah, they were targets. They were targets by the government. They said, these are the spiritual leaders. Where there are spiritual people, if you take their spiritual leaders down, they have no way. They have to convert to Catholicism, or they have to assimilate to this Western American society.
I think we need to keep those traditions alive for sure. It's just too bad that society, you know, didn't want that. That's amazing knowledge, man. Thank you so much for that knowledge. Needed to be heard.
Thank you. It's a good question. I like the question too, because we, you know, we around this time we're very thankful in Lakota society, because we had a good harvest, and so we have these great feasts. I think I talked about this last interview, is that the massacre of Wounded Knee, when the unarmed Lakota families were gunned down and put into a mass unmarked grave, when they were burning all the teepees, there was an agent there who documented a lot of the things. So he would say, you know, there is this many teepees, and there is this many knives, and this was this many winter clothing, and this was this many, and what was in there was 7,000 pounds of preserved food that they burnt. And so we can go through the wintertime. We don't have to go to the supermarket every day, or, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. There's a way to live very healthy and very and have a lot of substance through the wintertime. It's possible. And we even have an artifact in our archives that's a petrified wasna ball. Wasna is pemmican. What pemmican was in those old days was like candy, and it evolved to spiritual food today. And it's dried meat with dried choke cherries. They're all ground. They're all put together with callow fat or bone marrow, and it tastes really good and tastes really sweet with that bone marrow, with that mouth marrow on there. It's almost like butter. And it tastes delicious. It tastes so good. And it was petrified, and it was in a museum, and it was taken by our repatriation officers. And you cannot put a date on it, because it's petrified. It's a rock.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't put a date on it. So that makes it over 2 million years old. So that means
my people have been
in this territory for over 2 million years.
I like that story. That's proof. Wow. I mean, that's evidence right there. You can't dispute. And, you know, you talked about initially the hate. And, you know, as a white man living on the reservation, I had some intimate conversations with some of the elders. Not elders, but their sons and the members. And it was quite interesting to hear those words. You know, hate is a very strong word. And I remember, you know, talking to him specifically about that. And I understand it, but I'll never understand it, if you know what I mean. And I think it's, you know, my question was back to the Thanksgiving at the casino. You know, it sounded so hypocritical, and I was like, you know, and I respect the Native so much, and I just didn't understand why hosting a Thanksgiving dinner would bring up a question and get me on this phone call to talk to you. And so, hey, man, Terrence, thank you so much for allowing me to ask the question and just, you know, open it up. I appreciate that, man. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much, guys.
Yep, thanks for calling in, Shannon. Thanks for calling in. And Mr. Moreno, thanks for that insight on that question. We have a track next by Internet Radio Hall of Fame, Brother O.
Hoofprints and footprints, deep ruts the wagons made, the victor and the loser came by here. No headstones, but these bones rend Mescalero death moans. See the smooth black nuggets by the thousands lying here. Petrified, but justified are these Apache tears. Dead grass, dry roots, hunger crying in the night. Ghost of broken hearts and laws are here. And who saw the young squaw? They judged by their whiskey law. Tortured till she died of pain and fear. Where the soldiers lay her back are the black Apache tears. The young men, the old men, the guilty and the innocent, bled red blood and chilled alike with fear. The red man, the white man, no fight ever took this land. So don't raise the dust when you pass here. They're sleeping, and in my keeping are these Apache tears.
That was insane. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller two, who am I speaking with? You want to know your right show?
Yeah, hi, this is Ricardo Richard. I was listening to the show or whatever. I've never really heard anything about, I mean, I don't know the title of what the guy was saying as far as his race and history. So a lot of this stuff was like really, really new to me. You know, just hearing the information. I just wanted to know, like, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but I was just, like, interested to know, like, what he was saying as far as, like, what they believed in as far as his faith.
Mr. Moreno, did you hear the question?
Yeah, so it's a philosophy amongst my Ocheti Shakoni people, Ocheti Shakoni Titowa Oglala Hemacha. I'm of the seven council fires. I'm of the dwellers of the prairie, and I'm Oglala, the scatters their own band. And so as in the English language, you probably know us as the Sioux. But the Sioux is kind of a derogatory term. And the faith that I'm not a part of any faith. I'm not part of any church or anything. We have a strict way of life that is we offer up wochekia, we offer up prayer, but it's to the spirits of creation, and we have an entire creation story, and that's the way we believe. But I'll get more into a creation story, but there's only certain times of the year that we are allowed to talk about our creation story, and that's in the winter time, in the winter solstice, and we tell it to our children. And as far as like the faith, the belief, the spirituality aspect, it's an everyday thing. So we have one of the questions was the morning star ceremony, and so it's a beautiful thing. You know, we wake up in the morning and we have a morning star ceremony with food and water and our relatives and acknowledgement of the spirits of creation. And then we go about our day. We azalea. The azalea, you know it as smudge. Smudge is kind of like a derogatory term as well. So we it's like almost like incense. We kind of burn the incense and we purify ourselves. That's our purification. Our purification of our spirit. And we do this daily. And we drink water. Water is our first medicine. And what else can I talk about our spirituality? These are some of the teachings of our and philosophies of our spirituality, and we kind of hold those privately, though. Those are kind of like I'm stepping, kind of walking the thin line here, talking about our spirituality. But I just wanted to say that much, just to give you an idea that it's not really a faith, it's not really a belief, it's more of a way of life.
Mm-hmm. As it should be.
Yeah, the faith and the belief, like the Christianity and the Catholicism, and those were like the main two. Those were kind of forced upon our people when we were being hunted down, and then when our children were taken, they were put into boarding schools, and they were forced to be you know, Christian or Catholic. But, you know, ever since 1978 with the American Indian Freedom of Religion Act, we were able to be ourselves. But that was only 5 years ago. So in between there, in those years, from the first boarding school up until 1978, our spiritual ways and our way of life was practically extinct. And we worked very, very diligently with process, due process, you know, delegation, litigation, using the law, the government's own law. We used it against them, and so now, you know, we're at a time, a very exciting time in our territory, where we have schools, we have immersion schools, and we have young people speaking our language again, singing our songs, practicing these old ways. These ancient beliefs, spirituality, the aspect of this way of life. It's a very exciting time over here in our territory. And so I just wanted to say that much. Thank you for that wonderful question.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Ricardo. When is your next show, Ricardo?
My next show is December the 7th at 9:30. So please, everybody, check my show out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. So, Colin, I appreciate your comments, all right? All right. I think we have another track by Brother O, Internet Rich, Internet Real Hall of Fame. think we have a caller three in the queue. You want to know your right show with Terrace Strength? Caller three, who am I speaking with?
Hello, Terrace. This is Mo Garman. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ms. Garman?
I'm doing great. I'm just calling to support your show. Excellent topic tonight. Your guest, Mr. Marino, is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. I personally believe that the Native American diet can cure things like diabetes, and I'd like to incorporate some Native American foods in my diet, but I think I spoke on that the last time I spoke to Mr. Marino, and I'm not sure if there is a way to incorporate those traditional foods into the diet. I'd like to hear more about that.
Oh, yes. I'm not sure where you guys are, but out here we have a beautiful program. It's called Makoche. And Makoche in Lakota, it means this land. And it's dedicated to the education of traditional Lakota diet, Lakota food, plants, herbs. And they have these beautiful so as you know, in our territory, the buffalo was our main food source. And
yeah.
So when we have not only do we hunt, we have a hunt and a harvest, but it's a ceremony. So when we have a buffalo harvest, it starts, you know, with the community. There's the buffalo dance. There's the shooter, the hunter is blessed, and he's goes through this protocol like I was talking about earlier. It's a protocol. He's blessed with these beautiful songs, and these beautiful words are talked to him. You know, you're gonna be a hunter, you're gonna provide for your people, and it's gonna be good. And when they're a hunter, they know that the buffalo is very dear to us, you know. And also we have a tribal buffalo grazing area. So we have buffalo specifically for our tribe, and our tribal doings are like our, if we're going to have a ceremony, or we have these seven sacred rites, and they're these ceremonies that were once illegal, but after 1978, you know, they were made legal again. And the seven sacred rites, I have them right here for you. So the first is Wiwangwachipi, the sun dance. The second is the Hambalechia, that's the vision quest. The third is the Nahigluhapi, and that's the keeping of the spirit, or the sending of the spirit. That's when we are done here on earth, and it's time for our Nahi, our spirit, to go home. And Ishnati Awichalawapi, that's a womanhood ceremony. So the young women are going to become women. Then there's the Tapa Wakali Yeyapi, the throwing of the ball ceremony. That's another kind of puberty ceremony. Inipi, or the Inikaga, the sweat lodge, or the purification. And the Hankayapi is the making of the relatives. And these are ceremonies that we have a buffalo range, and it's specifically for some of these ceremonies that take place. And we also, the Makoche, they also have these wonderful people who would be willing to come on the show probably that can explain more. And so they have workshops here in our territory, and what they'll do is they'll come out and they'll bring all of their food that they harvest or they grow themselves, and they'll teach people about them. And it's getting really big. So there's places in our reservation, in each district, the districts are kind of spread out. We're the second largest reservation landmass, and now there's districts throughout this land, this territory of ours, and in each district, it's kind of far away from each other. It's about an hour drive away from each other, but this summer is going to be the first summer where each of the district is going to have their own garden. Some of them have been having their own garden for years, but this summer is going to be the first summer, or spring, I should say, because that's when they're going to start planting them. But each district is going to have a district garden, and they're going to it's going to be a community garden. And then also there's been it's been making huge strides for years now. So it's a beautiful thing. So to get back to your question, how to integrate some of the traditional foods to your diet, my suggestion would be find the indigenous people in your area who know your area, and you can have the traditional plants, foods, and herbs that are indigenous to your area. That's a suggestion. Yeah, and learn the language of the indigenous people, because they have it's deeply rooted to your territory, and it's been there for millions of years. So it would be, it's kind of like paying homage, like showing the respect and saying, okay, this is how much, you know, I respect you, is I'm willing to go this far. And I'm, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, but could use your help there by, you know, volunteering, or if they have a program there or something, you can go in and you can help out. And there's probably a powwow by too as well. You would love a powwow. Powwows are great. And they have powwows though, that it's more greasy food and more processed food and more of the Western American society diet, you know, but if you find the elders there, they can let you know, and then that's doing and that's valuable. That's very valuable research. But as for here, you know, it all starts with the children. You know, that we have to like teach them at the young age, okay, this is what this is for. This is, you know, you can, if you have a headache, you can take this plant here and you can boil the water, drink the tea, your headache is going to go away. This right here, this is a wild turnip. It has more calcium in this turnip than an entire gallon of milk, you know, and that's what we do. That's what I do. You know, I teach the next generation about a lot of these things.
Wow.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we got another caller in the queue. Mo, thank you for calling in. And your next show is when?
Oh, my next show is December the 2nd.
Oh,
thanks,
okay, it's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for your questions, Mr. Moreno. Thanks for your answers. We have another caller in the queue, and I'm trying to keep it moving. Caller 4, who am I speaking with?
Hello, how are you today? This is Tiana Speaks. And
how are you?
I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, thank you for calling in.
Yes.
What's your question?
First, I would like to say I'm honored to speak with International Internet Radio Hall of Fame that's broadcasting, enshrining-elect Tara Strength. I appreciate the show. It is absolutely amazing. It's informative. And I would like to say it's right on point with a lot of my beliefs, you know. A lot of times that, you know, I would say there was a point in time where I only knew about medicine. That was it. You know, and honestly, it was up until a time that I had a headache, and I had a friend of mine that gave me black seed oil, and I had a headache all day. And at that time, I really didn't, like, take pain medicine, because I've always been afraid, you know, to be addicted because I have fibromyalgia. So, you know, I don't want to get used to taking it, you know what I mean, where my body just needs it all the time. So with this being said, my friend gave me black seed oil, and it was like something just, I can't even explain the feeling that I had. And then I started researching more and more things. So when a lot of things go wrong with me, to be honest with you, a lot of times I look for, like, what, you know, Chinese medicine, you know, in different cultures, what do they do, you know? So a lot of the things, and even the diets, what type of things that they eat to maybe, like, that would get rid of certain things, you know, because sometimes our American diet is just not good. So I appreciate all the information that the people called in, and also your guests absolutely sharing amazing information, you know. For instance, I'll give you an example. I actually had pneumonia, and I got rid of it in 2 days. I was deathly afraid. It was really, really bad. And I know this sounds unbelievable, but I took a lot of different herbal things. And I swear to you, the second day, the second day I was, you know, completely normal. But, you know, I continue to, you know, take in my herbal remedies so that way, you know, I can make sure that it stayed that way, you know, and to keep myself in my lungs clear because, you know, when you're breathing in, when your body's oxygenated, you know, a lot of things can't survive. You know, I don't know if a lot of people know that, you know, but I appreciate all the information that your guests are giving. And I think it's important to not just be small-minded in whatever you learn, you know, over here in America, you know, to just look into other cultures and see what they do to see if it works, you know. So I appreciate your guest, and thank you for having such an amazing for an absolutely amazing show. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I think we have another caller in the queue, caller 5. Who am I speaking with?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we turn vegans from eating too much cheesesteaks, you know what I'm saying, bad diets. You know what I mean? What's going on out here, Terrence? You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for calling. How you doing? I hope you're holding down the sticks and the bricks.
Yo, check this out, man. I'm so active with holding up building the bricks and standing the sticks up, right? I got to do some standing the sticks up against the transgressors. You know what I'm saying? As we speak.
Right.
However, we talking about something different now. Where here's the thing? Check this out. They don't tell you with cures all these ailments. Cost you $5 at the herbal store, or you can better yet, you can grow it in the back of your backyard. You know what I'm saying? The doctors ain't going to tell you that. You know what I'm saying? Because you want to know why? The reason why is because they would rather for your insurance companies to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for, you know, man-made medications the active ingredients in these medications are natural things that you can get from the produce store or herbal store or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to tell you that costs $5-$10 and you don't need insurance to pay thousands of dollars for that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people, you know, get on your research, because there's another thing that you have to do and understand about these diet things. Know what your body needs. Know what vitamins and minerals that your body needs. So in order to know what your body needs, you have to understand what kind of fruits and vegetables these things come from, which foods that these ingredients come from. You know what I mean? So all those things correlate all together. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether you want to make it a spiritual thing or not, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing about it is all these things out here are spiritual when you make a decision, especially if you're a person who relies on the guidance, you know what I'm saying, and you're making wise decisions based on the fact that you're a guided individual, then you have it, you know what I'm saying, that spiritual dieting and all that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we will take the vegetables and throw it on the Amoroso Road for you. Check your satellite.
Hey, Clever. All right, so I think it's Ngozi time. Hello, do you have any thoughts? Or You want me to say some final thoughts? Or do you?
Well, first of all, I want to come on and say this. To our brother, Lakota Elder, Jeremiah Marino, I love you, man. There's so much injustice that's done to the indigenous people. This was the land first. But not only just all indigenous people, Africans were here, so-called Africans, you know, dwelling with your people, the Lakotas. And it was a wonderful oasis of love and kindness. And I love the fact that we are talking about tonight something that's near and dear to my heart. When it comes down to the atrocities of the Native American in this country, the United States of America should be ashamed of themselves. 1878 really was the onslaught of genocide. And they knew it, and they chronicled that. And then in 1978, with, of course, President James Earl Carter, you know him as Jimmy the Peanut Man, signed a document that allowed those great people to practice what they should have practiced throughout those years. The buffalo, the main food source of those great people. They made almost extinct in the world because they didn't want the Indians to have a chance to eat their sacred food. It's the same thing with all people in this egregious economy. They don't want you to eat the sacred food from the land. I noticed in a lot of different stores, they stopped selling seeds for you to grow on your own back lawn or wherever you grow them. They spray stuff in the air that allows it to kill what you plant. Big companies profit in that. The same thing happened in the 19th century. This happened now in the 21st century. Nothing has changed. The capitalist society is totally egregious. We must be aware and stand up for people, no matter what their background, no matter what they, you know, they claim to be their spiritual source. Love them because of them. Love them because of them. Our hearts ache for them now at the Battle of Wounded Knee. And a lot of times the atrocities never are spoken of. When we buried those bodies in earthen graves after they committed genocide, United States Cavalry, United States Army, and the Gatling gun. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And a lot of times in this show, a lot of people wanted to speak tonight, and they were not able to do it. Why? Did you lock the lines because this show was too heavy? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And it's a tragedy for those people who cannot get on tonight because of the practices of communications. Understand that we are great on purpose. We're greater than any force. We are WBNN, the beacon of light that shines across this stratosphere that you call Earth to claim victory. Victory is ours, no matter what. And I'm going to play a last song tonight before I go into my Ngozi time. It starts with the plains. The plains where people loved and lived and also were massacred. Yes, they did.
Ooh.
Jose Cabrejas, a wonderful person, a tribesman, a Cherokee, and a patriot. I was so proud to do that soundtrack of our lives tonight, because that flute is very important in Native American lore. Bring on the last two callers. I'm going to my go-see time, and then final thoughts from our wonderful guest, Jeremiah Marino, and then final thoughts from Terra Strength. Caller number five, you're live right now with Terra Strength and the Know Your Rights show right here. Good day being in.
Hey, Terrence, it's Jerry Petito.
How are you doing, Jerry?
Sweetie, man. I just wanted to say hello to you and your incredible guest. And, you know, as usual, you rocked it.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. This show has me. I said this show has me in another place right now. But, no, go ahead. I want to hear your comments for sure.
Well, I want to comment on two things. You know, that song that Brother O just played, first of all, I want to thank him for that. That was magnificent to me in particular, because I got to meet, you know, we all think we're 100% something. Like, I always thought I was 100% Italian. I'm not. But as close as can be, right? I got to meet a family, a Cherokee family, 100% Native Americans that came from their tribe to meet me, for me to interview them. And I wrote a poem for them. I can't read it tonight. It's long. It's like pages and pages. And it was called The Peace Pipe. And just having them in my home, talking to them, they own a piece of my heart now. You know, so that's part one of what I wanted to say about that. So beautifully done, guys. And Brother O, again, that song was magnificent. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, you know, Clever One was saying about, you know, the food, the medicine, and this and that. And you know, I'm a nutritional health coach, and I do everything natural. And, you know, we've got to come to terms with this. It's this simple, guys. If it grows from the earth, eat it. If it grows in a plant, and I mean like a building plant, do not eat it. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm vegan. You don't have to be vegan to be healthy. You could eat meat, but eat clean meat, organic meat, healthy foods, nothing processed, no sugar, no crap. We are being lied to. You know, the Native American, I mean, if you think about it, they grew everything. They're making it even difficult now. They want to fine people for having their own gardens in their backyards. That's coming next. So thank you, Terrace, for, you know, your shows and everything that you bring out. And your guest is amazing. And, again, thank you and happy Thanksgiving. You know, I don't even know if I'm supposed to even feel that way anymore about it, you know. But when I celebrate Thanksgiving, I celebrate it for other reasons. I give thanks to God, you know?
Wait a minute. We got some good news, and I'm going to give in Ghosty time tonight, and I want to thank our commissioner for joining us. But, however, congratulations to the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee-elect, Mr. Terrace Strength, on his WNN all-time connection record tonight, with his 47th all-time and 7th consecutive with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late, great Hall of Famer. As we move on to our next caller. How you feel about that, Terrace?
Wow, that's insane. You know, that's insane. Thank you. It's an honor.
All right.
Thank you.
And we're going to bring on our last caller, and then I'm going to my Ngozi time, and then final thoughts from Elder Jeremiah Marino. And then your final thoughts. Carla, you're live on the air right now.
Peace and blessings, Brother Terrence, and peace and blessings to you again. Congratulations. Well, you
how
know,
you doing?
I have a question for your guest. Have you heard about the $5 Native Americans? And also, when I was doing my research, I found out a lot of the Native Americans were of dark complexion, and that a lot of them were taken from this land and sent to other lands, and they changed their name from Native American to Negroes in the slave trade. Now, I found out that my great-grandmother was Native American. And, in fact, I just found that out from my relatives. And I wanted to know, what do you think about the $5 Native Americans that paid $5 to become Native Americans? A lot of indigenous, the dark-skinned Native Americans lost their land. So I would like your opinion on that.
Okay. I haven't heard about the $5 Native American and how they paid $5 to be Native American. But there was, I had a professor named Vance Blacksmith at Oglala Lakota College. Rest in peace. He told us in this really deep conversation. He was doing a lecture about this nine-point alili, and so the end of the conversation was that all of these companies all over the world, Ancestry.com is one of them, but they're collecting a lot of the DNA. One in particular that is in Switzerland, and that's the one called this 9-point alili. And they collected trillions of samples, or not trillions, but like billions of DNA samples, right? And so, what he says in the conclusion of all of these analysis of all this DNA is that there was research in the 80s and 90s up until the early 2000s that says that a lot of first civilization has come from, Egypt or, Africa or China. And so that was their analysis, right? But of this new analysis of this 9-point alili from Switzerland is that a lot of everybody, all of these samples of all of this blood, of all this DNA, traces back to here in this United States of the indigenous cultures. And so my point of view now, hearing about it now, $5 Native American, it doesn't really mean much to me because, anybody can go on to Ancestry.com and they can get this piece of paper that says, oh, you're this much Native American. But you know what? A real indigenous person, a real actual Native American actually has to prove that I have to prove I'm Lakota. We're the only race of human being on this earth prove that we are who we are. We can't just say who we are. Isn't that interesting? And yeah. All of this has to do with blood quantum. And this was established. When you said $5 Indian, my mind went back and it was like, is somebody bringing up that they used to sell their scalps to the government? That was a job at one time in this country, was to collect scalps of Indian people. They were like bounty hunters. They would come into our Indian territory and they would find our children. $5 a scalp for Indian children. They would kill our Indian children to get $5. $200 if you can kill a warrior, a brave, they called it. Women and children were $5. And that's where my mind went, being me, being an educator, That was all part of the Dawes Act. And the Dawes Act was to remove the Indian people off the land so that the government can claim more land. That was the whole process. And $5 Native American thing, you know, that's kind of new to me. I'd have to do more research to actually have, and more reflection to actually have a deeper insight about it. But my mind goes to from the beginning when they tried to get us off this land by killing and taking our scalp. And they even took our, there was accounts, documented accounts of soldiers, babies from the womb, cutting them out and throwing them and playing fetch with their dogs. That's how sick it was. And, but you know, fast forward in that era to June 25th and 26th of 1876, we were fed up with the Battle of Greasy Grass. Still to this day, the only time that the United States has ever lost on a battlefield was to us, the Ocheti Shakoni people, in the Battle of Greasy Grass. And so that was our time. Of course, you know, extreme events occurred after that, you know, with retaliation. But, you know, we're still, you know, people talk about, I hear, you know, I read things about, you know, people are you know, fighting the system, right? While we have, as Indian people in our territory, we still haven't stopped. It's been an ongoing thing ever since, you know, they've met us on our territory. And it's going to continue, and we're going to continue to strive and thrive with our beautiful programs that we have. I mentioned a few of them. O Aye Luta, O Kola Kiche, with the story about my uncle, and he's wanting to do a treatment center, a way for our people to be comfortable going to treatment. And that's actually happened. That's a true story. It's called O Aye Luta, O Kola Kiche. It's a center in Rapid City, South Dakota. And Makoche with the plants, foods, and herbs education for our people. That's a thing. It's actually happening. And when we talk about like decolonization and defense, you know, defending our sacred things, our land, our water, we're doing that. There's programs. There's a program called the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance, which one of my old students is a part of. She came into my classroom and talked to my students about the clean water issue, because they're mining, you know, they're mining for lithium, you know, electric cars. They sound nice, but really, you know, they're mining my territory. There's these corporations that are coming into my territory, and they're doing exploratory drilling, and they're looking for minerals on my land, and we actually have to go over there and kick them out of our land, because they come into our territory illegally. They take a sample and then they go back to their lab, and if they find minerals, then they try to purchase things. It's really cutthroat. And you know, we've been dealing with this for a long time now, and they're looking for lithium, gold, uranium, and rare earth materials. And it's going to affect, we have the cleanest, this is me learning from my student. Imagine that. We have the cleanest water aquifers in the world underneath our territory. Cleanest aquifers in the world right here on my reservation. And if they do exploratory drilling, and if they're going to mine for uranium or rare earth or lithium, whatever it is they're going to mine for, they're going to contaminate that water. And like the relative earlier, how he was talking about, it's going to be illegal to have a garden in your backyard. I can only imagine what it's going to be like over here, because they go a little bit extra for us, because we beat them in battle, and we're still fighting them in battles today.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for all of your information. And please go and study that part where I was talking about the $5 endings. There's information on that where they came in and paid $5 for the land. Thank you. And Brother Terrence, thank you so much for this show. And I thank Brother O for the music. It was very comforting to hear the music. So thank you so much for your answer, and peace and blessings. I'm Sister Bessie, the truther. I'm on December the 9th, and have a blessed evening.
Sequoia's winners were 16. Silent tongue, spirit clean, he walked at his father's side. Across the smoking battleground, where red and white men lay all around, so many here had died. The wind had scattered around snow-white leaves upon the ground, not leaves like leaves from trees. Sequoia said, "What can this be? What's this strange thing here I see? From where come leaves like these?" Sequoia turned to his father's eyes, and he said, "Father, you are wise. From where come such snow-white leaves? With such strange marks upon these squares, not even the wise owl could put them there. So strange, these snow-white leaves." His father, shielding his concern, resenting the knowledge Sequoia yearned, crumbled the snow-white leaves. He said, "When I explain, then it's done. These are talking leaves, my son, the white man's talking leaves. The white man takes a berry of black and red and an eagle's feather from the eaglet's bed, and he makes bird track marks. And the marks on the leaves, they say, carry messages to his brother far away, and his brother knows what's in his heart. They see these marks and they understand the truth in the heart of the far-off man. The enemies can't hear them." Said Sequoia's father, "Son, they weave bad medicine on these talking leaves. Leave such things to them." Then Sequoia, walking lightly, followed his father quietly. But so amazed was he. If the white man talks on leaves, why not the Cherokee? Banished from his father's face, Sequoia went from place to place, but he could not forget. Year after year he worked on and on, till finally he cut into stone the Cherokee alphabet. Sequoia's hair by now was white. His eyes began to lose their light, but he taught all who would believe that the Indian's thoughts could be written down just as the white man's there on the ground, and he left us these talking leaves.
This soundtrack tonight was inspired by the creator of all worlds through me, its vessel. Caribbean has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter and Ngozi _ Time. All of that in the link with Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or a wonderful program tonight? Oladelay.ngoziwithmy@gmail.com. And I am the mentor, your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malay, when Ngozi saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis, giving honor to our sailors and our soldiers through Armed Forces Radio. Listen to our show every single night to many different countries. Tomorrow night, we come right back on this historic network, The Dynasty, with Ava Holly and a casual chat, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time at WBNN. And now, I get a chance to present for the first time in grandeur the 2022 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame, broadcasting this Ronnie-elect, the 2020 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, and the 2020 WBNN Battle Network Stars Champion, the wonderful Comet himself, Tara Strength.
Thank you for that, brother. Thank you for the fantastic music you played tonight. I want to thank my honored guest, Lakota Jeremiah Moreno. You were fantastic tonight. And you shared a lot of information with the listening audience on Facebook and on internet radio. And so I just really want to thank you. It was an honor. It was an honor to have you on here tonight. If there's any way we can make donations or reach you, you can let us know right now if there is, or we can just have it and post it on Facebook or something like that. But I want to thank you for the information you shared with us. You did a fantastic job, and I'm sure you brought your family and your people pride. You brought them great pride tonight. And so I want to thank you for that. And I want to, everyone in the listening audience, I will see you guys in 4 weeks with another engagement. Thank you for joining the show. And go tell someone you love them. And remember, make an impact at Thanksgiving this year to speak something about the indigenous people at your events. I will see you in 4 weeks. Tell someone you love them. And remember, always, always, always know your strength. Good night.